Beautiful day today, wasn't it, Rob?
Oh, wonderful.
Wasn't it a beautiful day?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
You could have had an eclipse of the sun on a day like today, couldn't you?
Sure could have.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, trying to get it together the best we can, and tonight's topic is outer space.
Really?
Really.
Do we have anybody to talk to about it?
Couple of people. We have John Schroer from the Cincinnati Planetarium. Say hello, John.
Good morning, everybody.
What is it that you do at the Cincinnati Planetarium?
Well, I manage the planetarium, keep an eye on things.
Really? Make sure nothing gets stolen?
And also talk to people about weird stuff happening in the sky, like the eclipse.
And we also have on the telephone lines, live from Miami, FLA, Jack Horkheimer, the Star Hustler.
Star Hustler, welcome to Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Good evening.
You sound a little rough today. Sounds like your throat's a little bit sore.
Yeah, I had a rough few days. Had an awful lot of interviews with the eclipse and coming to the end of a long moon's on road.
I tell you what, there's no better way to end a hard day than with Chris and Rob. Okay, here in the Cincinnati area, I believe that we had a 90% blockage of the sun. What was it down in Florida?
We only had 52. You were much, much closer to the center line of annularity.
Oh, was it still spectacular in Florida, though? Or was it cloudy, or was it rainy, or what?
No, we had beautiful views, and we had about 1,500 people at the planetarium, and we have
how many cases of burnt retinas?
None whatsoever, because we used a special CCD camera on a telescope, and we projected the live images of the sun as the eclipse is in progress on 225-foot-high giant video screens. So it was quite spectacular.
What did it look like?
Well, it's fascinating watching the sun in, magnified, many hundreds of times. Actually, several thousand times was magnified. Watching the moon slowly slide across the face of the sun until about 52% of it was covered and then slowly retreat. It was quite interesting because from our vantage point with the blow-ups of the CCD cameras, we could actually see, the mountains and valleys on the moon as it passed across the face of the sun.
And if we miss this one today, when is the next one?
Well, it depends on where you're talking about, what locales. It's different wherever you happen to be. You'll hear all kinds of answers. Someone will tell you that the next great central eclipse will not occur until the year 2012. Other people say, well, the best eclipse will be 2017. But actually, here in Miami, next year we'll have a partial eclipse, but only 2% of the sun will be covered up.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Would you even notice that? Would the average person even notice it?
No, the average person wouldn't notice it at all. As a matter of fact, it's very difficult for an average person to notice a partial eclipse until you get probably about 70 to 80% of the sun's face covered by the moon. For instance, we have told people in Miami today there was an eclipse of the sun. Most people would not have noticed it. You would notice that there is a difference in the light in the sky, and the sky looks as kind of a strange metallic color. A few animals went a little, got a little spooked when it got to be around 50%. But generally speaking, an eclipse has to get up to about 75 to 80% before you notice any really dramatic changes. With the total eclipse, the dramatic changes come in the last half an hour. Actually, the last 15 minutes, when temperatures, can plunge 15 to 20 degrees.
Wow.
And the winds change directions, and the sky goes through all kinds of wonderful shades and hues. In other words, the peripheral effects of eclipses are really part of the eclipse experience. I find that whenever I've been to eclipses, I have always stayed away from using a camera.
Right.
A lot of very serious amateurs love to go to eclipses and take all kinds of expensive equipment and drag it across the country or drag equipment around the world, and they set up and they see the entire eclipse through the lens of a camera. And to me, that's missing an eclipse. I like to see an eclipse live and experience it. It'd be like going to a rock concert and seeing it through the lens of a video camera. You can see that, you can always see a rock concert on television, but if you go to a rock concert, you want to experience the whole thing and not through the eye of a lens. And that's pretty much the way it is with eclipses, I feel. You should experience all the peripheries, all the peripherals.
Okay, I have a two quick questions for you, then I was going to hand you over to our guest, John. We'll introduce himself, and you guys will have a nice conversation, I'm sure. First of all, does this mean it's the end of the world?
Well, I certainly hope not, because...
Okay, second of all... Second of all, you had a really cool name for this a lunar eclipse a while ago. Did you have a cool name for this one?
Oh, I don't name solar eclipses. They're just
How about Phil?
Phil? Well, we can call it, down here we'd probably call it Fidel, not Phil.
All right, I'm going to hand you over to John of the...
We have an eclipse coming up in 2 weeks, though.
You do?
A lunar eclipse, a partial lunar eclipse.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When's that?
I have named that.
That'll happen in 2 weeks on the, at least for U.S. on the 24th, around 8 o'clock. It'll, the shadow of the Earth will cover about 25% of the moon.
John, who are you?
Well, I manage the planetarium for the natural history team. How's it going, Jack?
Oh, very good. It's very hard to hear you in this end, but I'm straining here.
Okay, how's that? Any better?
You sound great.
Okay, super. Anyway, it was spectacular here. We had a big crowd over at our planetarium, and we had a Celestron C8 set up, a telescope with a solar filter. So we were giving people a live view as well as using pinhole projectors and stuff. And it was a really busy day over at our place as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever wondered what happened when you put two astronomers in the same room together, well, now you got it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw in some jargon in there, Jack.
Talk about galaxies.
I'm just getting partial reception. I'm not hearing him in the background. But
what about those planets around that pulsar?
That's
all
right.
About
you guys
those.
In Cincinnati, I understand you only got one telephone. You have to share it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the situation.
Tell
anyway.
About that comet that's going to hit Jupiter.
Oh, yeah, they want to hear about the Shoemaker-Levy.
Well, I understand that you're going to have David Levy on the air in a couple of weeks. So, David, I don't want to steal David's thunder. He's the co-discoverer of that comet, and he's really interesting to talk to. And as a matter of fact, he was here in Miami 2 weeks ago as my house guest and gave a lecture here in Miami, which was quite exciting. I'm looking
forward
to it.
How exciting was it?
But, of course, I think that the press is going to hype it to such a point that unless we see Jupiter split apart in fiery pieces, everybody's going to say, is that all there is? What a bum deal.
Yeah, I know. I met David 4 years ago. He's going to be in town. We're going to try to get him in August, talk about his comment. So, yeah, it's funny. I was doing some channel surfing a while ago, and on one of the religious channels, one of the preachers were talking about how the comet was going to turn Jupiter into a sun, and it's going to be a sign. I couldn't believe all the lunacy going on with this comet.
I've gotten a few pieces of literature in the mail, as a matter of fact, and... I figure I'm going to wait till July to repent, at the last minute.
Just to be safe.
Well, listen, fun's fun, and I don't want to, I don't want to go overboard, I'll wait till the last minute. I think, it's, crawling under the wire. After all, there are going to be 22 chunks hitting Jupiter, and I figure right about number 19, I'll put my glass down and stop drinking.
Oh, geez. Are you planning anything for the comet crash? Any talks or lectures?
We're planning a lot of things here. The interesting part of it is it's going to be kind of amazing, and I suppose only people in our profession would understand this. It seems that a lot of the professional planetarium types are meeting in Cocoa Beach for the 25th anniversary.
I'll be down there for that.
And also for the Jupiter, that'd be the time that Jupiter slams the comet slams into Jupiter.
That's right. It's going to start near the end of the week.
But I've decided I'm going to have to forego the conferences because somebody's got to mind the store, and there'll be people coming out of the woodwork to come to the planetarium and planetariums all over the country to, to participate in the July 20th celebration and the. Also in the comet Shoemaker-Levy, so I may get up to Cocoa for a day. To see all the fellows up there from around the country and all the astronomy type girls too.
What's the anniversary?
The 25th anniversary of Neil Armstrong putting his foot down on the moon. That
Apollo 11.
25 years ago. I was just a child at the time.
I think we both were. Yeah.
How come Neil doesn't like talking about it?
I don't know. It's, I suppose, it's, I don't know.
Well, listen, if you were the first person to step on the moon...
I'd tell everybody.
Well, let's put it this way. He'd lost his life for a while. I mean, everybody had demands on him. And Neil's a private person anyway.
He's a member of the Board of Trustees for the Natural History Museum. He's a real private person, and that's just the way he is.
Well, now his buddy, Buzz Aldrin, is it? Buzz comes down to Miami frequently, and he loves to talk about it. And, you know, you get him going, you get cranked up, and he sails with it. He kind of likes talking about his experiences, and there is a new book coming out, by the way, and the author's mind, his name just escaped me, but a brand new book that will be released, I think, at the end of June. On personal interviews with all of the astronauts, except for two of them who passed away, which is kind of an interesting book that throws a lot of insight into each person's different reactions and responses to having gone to the moon and or walked on it. I think it's a friend of David Leavy. You might want to get him on the radio there for a guest shot, because he's going to be kind of a fascinating talk show.
Sure, we'll do it.
Participant.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, did you notice any temperature change up there in Cincinnati?
We sure did. We had like an eight degree drop.
It
wind
snowed.
Picked up. It snowed.
It snowed for a minute there.
Yeah, we had wind pick up, temperature drop. The light got real kind of hazy. We were not that far from downtown, and it looked very strange.
I thought I was having a flashback. During the time of, that frequently happens, which is kind of strange, like here in Miami. Because the sun was practically overhead at eclipse time. As it got, right into the eclipse, we had a lot of clouds forming up in the air, practically near the zenith.
Yeah.
Which was interesting, because you watch it going in and out of the clouds, but we had a lot of Mylar people there, using the Mylar glasses, a lot of pinhole projectors, but the greatest fun was the giant video screens. That was the first time we'd ever done it, and that was really quite successful and very dramatic, because it enlarged the image of the sun many hundreds of times, well, thousands of times. You can imagine watching a live image of the sun that's 25 feet in diameter. Absolutely spectacular.
Do you pick any features on the moon as it crossed?
Yes. Well, you could see the bumps of the mountains and the valleys, the little dips. You could see a few of those.
That must have been really slick.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting. I'm a total eclipse nut. I like going after total eclipses. Annual eclipses, are nice if they happen to be around where it's happening. I like the peripheral effects. I've always liked the peripheral effects. But there'll be a great solar eclipse coming up in November down the coast of South America.
Are you going down for that, or?
I sure am. Yeah, I'm gonna 3 weeks on the Saga Fjord, and I think Hugh Downs is going down for 2020. And,
yeah.
He's a big amateur astronomer.
He's like 90 years old. We're not going anywhere.
We're gonna party and
stop off in Columbia.
No, thank you. I saw an eclipse in Columbia many, many years ago. I had a little town right outside of Bogota called Guatavita. And I saw it from the top of a church while they were having a bullfight about two blocks away, and the people in the bullfight actually went bananas when the eclipse took place. They really didn't think it was going to happen, but of course it did. And the interesting thing was, it was not supposed to occur. There was supposed to be no totality over the city of Bogota. And this is a story you won't find in many journals, because it embarrassed a lot of cartographers. There was supposed to be no totality whatsoever in Bogota. When we got back to Bogota, driving down off the Silly Mountain several hours later, we found out that they had about 3 to 4 seconds of totality all over Bogota, which threw the city into a slight panic. It seems that the maps that have been in use for the past couple hundred years were all drawn wrong, and nobody bothered to ever update them, and so they found out that Bogota was actually not geographically where it was listed on all the maps. And so the astronomical calculations are right according to longitude and latitude, but the longitude and latitude of Bogota was found out to be have been positioned incorrectly for a couple hundred years.
Amazing.
So we actually were able to relocate Bogota because of one eclipse.
Yeah, that's the dangerous thing about eclipses. They're extremely addicting. Once you see a total, you got to have more.
Get your fix, baby.
I agree. I wish I had been closer to the line of annual average data. I have never been in the path of an annual eclipse. I've never seen the ring, the complete ring around the sun. But, of course, I'd be probably waiting for it and cheering it to go on, you know, and completely cover the thing, because I love total eclipses. They are very, very nifty.
Oh, yeah.
How did the whole city react? Did you have a lot of reaction from the press?
Oh, we had...
Riots!
Well...
There were riots! Riots in the streets!
We basically had all the electronic media was over at the planetarium, and we had lots of newspapers and tons of folks. It was just a... Well, let's put it this way, Jack. The last 10 years we've had an eclipse. It's usually been clouded out. This is the first eclipse since I've gotten involved in astronomy 9 years ago, and we've had perfect weather for it. And,
that's terrific.
Oh, it was just awesome. The lunar eclipse in November, we didn't get clear skies until 10 minutes before peak. So.
Well, that's the way they work. Well, last November's lunar eclipse, I think I talked up there with the fellas.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, last November's lunar eclipse. Over Miami, was for me personally the most spectacular lunar eclipse I've ever seen in my life. It
was that the Shame on You, Christopher Columbus eclipse?
No, that was the one the year before. This was how soon I forget. Oh, the night. This was the Seven Sisters, and
yeah,
because this occurred in the Pleiades. We had clear skies all night long. But what happened was, because of the shading of this eclipse, it shaded in such a way that for the first time that I ever remember ever seeing the moon ever look absolutely three-dimensionally. It did not look flat. It did not look like a disc. It looked like a round ball. You could see the curvature. It looked like a sphere.
Sure did.
And it was just magic. I mean, I know I'll never see anything like that again in my lifetime. It was just...
Was it red?
Just spectacular.
What color was it?
Well, it had a... It was like a dark silver gray.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely magnificent. And, of course, with the Seven Sisters close by...
And the Hyades, too.
It was absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, it was...
Things got so crazy here today with the eclipse that Chris almost got a date.
Almost got a date?
Yeah, that's how out of whack things were today.
Well, listen, we had a lot of Trekkies at the planetarium today, and they follow me around like... You know, like little ducks. And, you know, it gets pretty weird at times. Because you'll be talking to the media, and somebody will be standing there with their nose in your ear, and it gets kind of aggravating.
Well, Jack...
I mean, you had a few there today yourself.
Yeah, we had some nerds here today.
Yeah, we get the usual flips. You know, you get the flips and the flops.
Okay. Well, you know, John's going to be coming out of Florida if you guys want to hook up and go to Hooters or something, or the Dollhouse.
Oh, we've got better clubs than that, please. I mean, really, give us a break. You're only 90 miles. We're like 120 miles away, you know, from Havana.
Well,
I'll hopefully run into you when I get down there.
It is Cal Decadence here in Miami. It's unfortunate, but...
Yeah, you can go to the Madonna, the nightclub.
Madonna lives right across the street from the planetarium, as a matter of fact. Yeah, well, but I'm not ever going to let her look through my telescope.
Yeah. I wonder if you ever have it aimed at her house.
Well, she's covered by trees. Now, we're getting quite famous down here right now. You know, we got Sly Stallone just bought a piece of property about a block away from her. And the planetarium is being surrounded by superstars. It's getting kind of crazy.
I think it's because of you, Jack.
Oh, well, I guess I draw them like flies, you know.
There goes the star hunter.
You're one of the beautiful people.
Well, golly, I'm glad you haven't looked at me lately on the tube because I've gained another 10 pounds. But thanks anyway.
All right, we'll sign off for us, Jack. We'll let you go back to sleep.
Okay, well, I hope all you guys up there keep looking up.
All right.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show will be right back. Keep on looking up.
It is only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together...
We're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Our topic tonight is outer space, and we have a guest. Say the phone number, Rob.
749-1444.
And reintroduce our guest in case somebody just tuned in.
Do it yourself, John.
This is John Schroer, manager of the planetarium for the Cincinnati Museum of Natural History.
And is it true that you know just about everything that human knowledge encompasses when it comes to outer space?
I try and know as much as I can. I'm making
right next to Carl Sagan, right? That's you, baby?
I'll give my best shot.
Just say yeah, all right. Okay, so we're going to take some calls here. Ivan's up next. Say hi, Ivan.
Hey.
Okay. In case you were listening to, we were just talking to Jack Horkheimer a few minutes ago, and he mentioned that we're having some guy named Dave Levy on next, June 21st he'll be on our show. And you might have wondered who we were talking about.
Okay, David Levy is an amateur astronomer. He's one of the best known on the planet. He hunts for comets. Unlike most things in astronomy and in sciences, amateurs make a major contribution to the study of the stars
well,
and galaxies.
What are we paying guys like you for?
Well, I help teach the public in schools and all that. See,
yeah.
David hunts for comets. He goes out right after dinner time and hunts until midnight, crashes until 4 in the morning, and looks up before the sunrise looking for comets. He's found 8 visually and a total of 21 comets overall. And the 13 he's discovered photographically, working with a couple people, Carol and Eugene Shoemaker. They use this little telescope in Palomar Mountain. And they take pictures of the sky and find comets. And that's how they found the one comet that's going to hit Jupiter in July.
Does he name them?
Well, basically, discover the comet, get their names thrown on it.
All right!
We got to discover a comet then.
Man,
oh, really?
Comet Christopher and Robert.
There you go.
Hello, Ivan. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Have you ever discovered a comet?
Not yet. I'm working on that.
Okay. Well, what can we do for you tonight?
Well, not much. I'm just calling to say hey to a friend of mine, John, of course.
And, hey, Ivan.
And two friends of mine, Chris and Rob. So what are you guys up to?
Hey, Ivan!
Well, John is fielding questions on outer space. So ask him something. Let's put this guy to work. Let's see what he really knows. Stump him.
Okay, when is the next meteor shower?
Well, the next meteor shower, the next big one will be the Perseids in August, on August the 12th.
Check it out, babe.
I will.
As long as you get out in the country, get away from all the city lights, get a better view.
Hey, you astronomers get really, really piqued by that city light thing, don't you?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Well, I mean, you got all these city lights, how can anybody look up and enjoy the sky? For thousands of years, anybody could walk out and look at the stars. But if you live in Cincinnati or any other big city, if you're within 15, 20 miles of downtown, the lights wash out a lot of the sky. You have to get, like, 50 to 100 miles away from this downtown to get a decent, clear view of the nighttime stars, meteor showers, comets, what else is going on up there?
Right. Hey, Chris, Rob, you guys remember last week when I was telling you about that place out in Indiana with that mall, that mini mall?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you sit there and you'll watch the guys drive around the mini mall for 3 straight hours?
Exactly right. Well, out there, that's a great place where what John and I, we like to refer to as you can view deep space objects. That's a really great place to view deep space objects.
Wow.
Why don't you ask John what deep space objects are?
John, why don't you explain to our listeners, because Chris and I know, obviously, but just what exactly are deep space objects?
Deep space objects are things you can see in the sky that are not part of the solar system. We're talking about galaxies, we're talking about star clusters, whether they're loose gatherings of stars called open star clusters, or really tightly packed balls of stars called globular star clusters. They're among the oldest members of our galaxy, the Milky Way. And of course, there are other galaxies you can see.
Wow.
And there's, of course, these huge glowing clouds of gas and dust called nebula, which you see like the... And there's dark nebula. They're like black clouds out in space, like the Horsehead Nebula in Orion.
Wow.
Or the Ring Nebula, which you can see right about now if you go outside and look at a telescope.
And you guys can see these things from the mall in Indiana.
Absolutely.
So give us directions to this mall.
What a mall.
And everyone out there in Radio Land, grab a pencil and paper and jot down these directions, and we'll meet you there tomorrow night at about 2:30.
All right. Well, stop on 74, just go straight to Indianapolis.
Now, is there a place to stop and get beer here between here and Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Plenty of places,
There is Batesville, okay.
Stop in Batesville, pick up a 6 or 12. Keep going, then where do you go?
Good case. Don't fall
out. Well, it's a little place called Batesville, and hang out at the mini mall and watch some deep space objects. It's really fun.
Well, those are great directions. I'm sure everyone will know how to get there now.
Yeah, well, hey, it's not really...
Go to Indianapolis. End up in Batesville. What the hell?
It's about as big as it sounds. Like I said, it's about probably about 1 square mile worth of civilization there, I guess I should say. But,
well, thanks for your call, Ivan. Keep tuning in and tell all your friends.
All right, well,
if you come up with something that might really stump John, have somebody call us up.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
I'll give you a call a little bit later, Chris.
I can't wait.
See you, Ivan.
There we go.
Man, he didn't even get his thank you.
Well, thank you. 749-1444. 749-1444.
Here's the thing I can never understand about this outer space deal.
Okay, you got this black sheet that is the night sky. And you have all these little dots all over it, which are stars. And then you just like pick out like 8 random dots, and you somehow draw a bear out of it. What the hell is that all about?
Yeah, go figure. Those are constellations. Going back to the time of the first civilization, the Sumerians, people imagined pictures in the stars. Well, if you're laying out...
This is, of course, after the invention of beer.
Well, yeah, that's civilization. You can't have civilization without beer. Okay. I mean, that's scientifically proven. Anyway, the Sumerians and then the Egyptians and the Greeks drew pictures up in the nighttime sky. And that includes the Big and Little Dippers, or what they call the Big and Little
Dippers. Well, that would actually look like a dipper. The Big Dipper, the Little Dipper looks like a dipper.
Right.
There's nothing that looks remotely like an archer riding a horse in the sky. I'm sorry.
Well, there is. Well, for example, one of my favorite constellations is Cassiopeia. It looks like 6 dots looking like a stretched out W. And in those 6 stars, you're supposed to see a queen sitting on her throne while she's looking at herself in a mirror. I can never see that.
Keep in mind that these Sumerians and stuff, they knew how to cultivate those magic mushrooms.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay? And they were into that kind of stuff. So, of course, they saw archers and queens and
bears.
They put their myths up there.
Dragons.
All their stories. Well, haven't you relayed out on a lazy summer day and watched the clouds flip by and imagine pictures in the
clouds? Yeah, but not the same thing. Like every night, I would see a different group of stars and make a bunny rabbit one day, then make a grizzly the next.
Well, there are all kinds of constellations. For example, let's take the Big Dipper, for example. Okay?
That one looks
like
a dipper.
The Greeks called it bear.
Okay.
Okay? We call a dipper. Back when we didn't have indoor plumbing. The people in England think of it as a plow. The people in Ireland, Scotland, think of it as a
potato
chariot.
You know, I always thought of Orion, that constellation Orion, kind of looked like Pete Townsend doing one of them windmill guitar solos.
Why not?
I always kind of looked that way to
constellations
me.
Constellations are constantly changing. I mean, when you look at
Sagittarius. That's why they call it constellation?
Constellation comes from the Greek word constella, which means star togetherness.
Ab and Constella were great. Okay, so you were saying about, what, Orion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it looks like a big guitar solo.
Okay.
To me.
For the Indians, they called it Chief Longstaff, one of the chiefs that negotiated this training treaty among all the different Indian tribes all across the Southwest and the Middle Plain states. I mean, Orion's also known by other names as well. So,
well, see, I just felt kind of bad because I go to the planetarium, and the room where you look up at the nighttime sky, deal.
Sure, the synthesized eye.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And they would, you know, in like third or fourth grade, and they would light it up. Here's all the stars that you will see tonight if it's really dark. And they'll say, now find the archer riding the unicorn. I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
First off.
There is none. And then, poof, they'd like take these 4 random dots. Right. And draw this really intricate with a beard and hold a spear, and he's got the whole thing going.
How do you know how to read? You look at shapes and you recognize the pattern as a D or an I or an S or an L or anything else. The same thing is true with constellations. You look up at the sky and you slowly recognize patterns.
Right, okay.
All right. Constellations take work to learn. So when people get interested in astronomy and learn about the constellations, we teach them the very simple ones, the basics, the ones that look like they really are
like
described
a dipper,
as.
A plow.
Like a dipper or a plow.
Or a Pete Townsend.
Or Pete Townsend.
Hey, you guys want to have some radio fun?
Sure, why not?
John, say beam me up.
Beam me up, Scotty.
You've been beamed up, John. We'll get to that later. Anyways, the phone number here is 749-1444 for the rest of the night. If you say, beam me up, you'll hear this. And that'll be a lot of fun. And we have some other fun things planned later tonight, too. We're going
Ooh,
to have...
what a blast.
Later tonight... Hey, the fun never stops.
Oh, my heart's about to explode.
Later tonight, we're going to have some fun hamburger facts, something that you can think about next time you're wolfing
out a
cheeseburger.
I forgot all about that. This is hamburger month, you know.
May is National Hamburger Month. We're going to be... well, I won't spill those beans yet. And we're also going to call the Madison Bowling Alley.
Yeah, they're great over there.
Or maybe not Madison, maybe Western.
Whichever one's cool.
No, we're going to call Western Bowling Alley. The one on Glenway.
Cool. One of them's a bunch of jerks.
Right. We're going to call them a little later. Oh, man, we just got fun up to the gills tonight.
Here's another question for you, John.
Sure.
Do you think that the bogus science of astrology helps people get interested in astronomy, or is a disservice to the science of astronomy because people get them confused?
Well, people have gotten confused because for a long time they were intertwined. In fact, even up through the 1500s,
Johann Kepler, who was a very famous astronomer. Kepler. He cast horoscopes. He made horoscopes, basically to feed himself and his family. Because, you know, no one gets rich doing astronomy unless you can save billions and billions and make a TV series out of it. But, in fact, you know, in the language
You've got lofty dreams, don't you, John?
Oh,
the
yeah.
The Cincinnati Planetarium just isn't good enough for you, is it?
You want your own TV show.
No, I don't. No, that's already been done. Just let me go up and...
Okay, so this Kepler guy, who's a famous astronomer, even dabbled in astrology to make some bucks on the side.
Yeah. But astrology is based on... there's a line going across the entire sky that the planets, the sun, and the moon travel through, and that's called the ecliptic.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. There are 12 constellations in this ecliptic, and that's what the astrologers call... The
Leo,
zodiac.
Scorpio, Crabbo,
Gemini,
kind of
Virgo, the
Virgin
whole bit.
Man. Fisho. Yeah. All right, we got the sleek one. Panther, you're on with Chris and Rob and John.
What's up, guys?
What's up with you?
Nothing. I may talk to y'all in forever.
I know. Where you been hiding?
Just been doing my laundry. I got a lot of laundry. It takes a couple months.
Really?
Yeah, well, don't let it build up like that. Do a load a week or so.
So did y'all get to go to that play that guy was on there before? Remember? He was an actor?
Oh, that's right. Several weeks ago we had on Greg Procaccino, a local actor, and he's been in some plays. I haven't seen one of his plays in a long time.
Huh.
He's a brilliant actor, though.
Well, he said he was going to take and let you all know so we could all go.
Right. Well, we're waiting for our free tickets. They still haven't come in the mail.
Oh.
I hear he's got all his clothes off in the new play.
Is he in that Superman play?
I have no idea.
But her other buddy is, isn't she?
Yeah.
One of our former interns is in that play.
And all their clothes are off, too.
Amazing.
The play where
people without clothes in Cincinnati.
So, Panther, did you see that solar eclipse today, and did it scare you?
I can't see, so I guess I did.
Really? Are you blind?
No.
Oh.
I am now, though.
Really?
My mom preached to me all day. Make sure you don't look at the sun.
Really?
I said, yeah, Mom. I'm not going to put the dogs outside. I don't want them, you know, looking at the sun.
Hey, I was playing tennis, okay? And it was like right when the eclipse happened. So I just started hitting lobs, making the person look up. I was going to blind them and then take them into third set.
Crazy. Well, I wanted to say hi to my friend, Randall Flagg.
Hi, Randy.
Should we beam up Randy?
No.
Okay. We'd be happy to.
Oh, no,
how about a photon
like
torpedo?
You want a photon torpedo for Randy?
He might like that.
Okay, coming right up.
That's cool.
There you go, a photon torpedo just for Randy.
All right.
Anything else, Panther?
No, just wanted to say hi.
Keep looking up.
All right.
Later.
Take care of yourself.
You take
Always
care.
Do.
All right.
749-1444 is the phone number here, Chris
yep,
and Rob.
That's the phone number.
So how long have you been with the planetarium over here in Cincinnati?
Well, I started volunteering back in 1986, and then in 88 they hired me on part-time.
Doesn't that suck about like every good job in the world anymore is you have to volunteer for 2 or 3 years first before you get hired?
Well,
what is
I didn't mind.
That?
I really didn't mind because I had fun playing, you know, moving the sky around and stuff and talking to people at the stars.
Oh, okay.
I had a great time. And they said they want to hire me on full time, and it's like, you're kidding. Mm-hmm. I mean, to do this and get paid for it.
Are you the
I
one
never
that,
thought that was possible.
Are you the one that now talks to the kids? And
yes.
Like, with the magical pointer says, look, here's the rabbit.
Yeah.
The crazed Greek rabbit, Romos. All right, Rob, you're on with Chris and Rob and Jim and John.
How you doing, John?
Hey, fine. How's it going with you?
It's been forever and a day. I have a question. How many planets have actually had a man-made object on their surface?
That's a good question. Planets have had a man-made object on them.
Earth would be one.
Well, there's Earth. There's one.
Earth.
The moon.
That's not a planet.
That's not a planet. The
and there's planet Venus, and there is Mars.
There's Venus and Mars. What about Mercury?
Nope, just a flyby.
It's Venus, Mars, and Ban on the Run.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, what about this, John? Is there really underground water on Mars?
Is there underground water on Mars?
That's a theory held by a lot of scientists. See, underneath the north and south poles of Mars, there are ice caps, just like there are on the Earth, but they're made of carbon dioxide at a temperature of about, oh golly, 200 and some odd
degrees of monium. Oh, yeah. The
you know they got a big face up there on Mars.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Hey, John, have you ever heard of Richard Hoagland?
Yes.
Is he a nutcase or is he cool?
I have not heard enough of him to really make a decision.
Well, we're going to be interviewing him right here on the Chris and Rob Talk Show in the next several weeks.
Super.
We haven't confirmed which one yet, so stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyhow, about the face.
Richard Hoagland knows all about that big face on Mars and all the pyramids. They got pyramids on Mars and underground water and all kind of stuff. And it's some kind of big deal. And there's a big NASA cover-up, and he's going to meet the president next week.
I didn't know he was doing that.
Yeah, we're going to ask him what they're serving in the White House. That's going to be our first question.
Okay. Hamburgers. It's Hamburger Month.
Yeah.
I can't forget those fries there.
Anyways, Richard Hoagland's going to be giving a lecture in Columbus on May 25th and May 26th.
Ask John what the Northern Lights are, man.
What are the Northern Lights, man?
Northern Lights are is the oxygen and nitrogen atoms about 60 to 300 miles above the North and South Poles being forced to glow by energy coming from the sun, which is sneaking in the Earth's magnetic field. It's sort of like a huge neon light up in the sky.
Did you hear that, Rob?
Yeah, man. I got another question.
You are just chock full of questions, aren't you?
All right. Now... Are there really UFOs? Is there somebody out there? Or is Jimmy Carter just really screwed up when he said he saw one?
Well, Jimmy Carter got bit by a rabbit, too, if you recall.
Attacked.
He almost fell
Not
out of a
Not just bit, attacked by a rabbit.
A rabbit.
Answer that question. How do you feel about UFOs, John?
Well...
Don't hedge! Come on!
Hedge?
Don't hedge.
Okay, I won't hedge. Let's put it this way. My personal opinion is there are too many stars with the possibility of having planets... to think that we're the only life in the
universe. No.
But what about UFOs?
Bogus.
Yeah, we're talking about UFOs.
Yeah.
Flying saucers, abductions.
I've seen some really convincing evidence of UFOs.
What?
I'm sure somebody knows something, but they ain't saying anything about it. I think there's a definite possibility that there might be...
A government cover-up?
Could be. Wow. It's not the first time this opinion has been expressed. Why not?
Okay, Rob, what other questions you got?
Does the sun rotate?
Sure does.
How fast?
Well, let's see. In the middle, it spins about every 25 hours, and the North and South Poles every 27 hours.
Because they're bigger?
No, because, remember, the sun's a huge ball of gas, all right?
Mm-hmm. Big Jim over there, our guy's answering the phone. He's a big ball of gas, too.
But as it spins,
only during
the center
off.
Is moving faster than the North and South Poles, which is why the middle moves faster than the North and South parts.
Come on, Rob, keep stumping them.
All right, why don't we ever see the dark side of the moon?
Because the moon rotates at such a speed that it always keeps one side facing the Earth. And, as in today, the dark side of the moon is a bad name, because right now that side of the moon is being lit up by the sun. See, solar eclipses happen during new moon, which the face of the moon facing us is not lit by the sun. But the other side is. The dark side of the moon is a misnomer.
What's what?
What?
What about these laser shows? You know, the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys do laser.
Hey, Evan, what do you think about this, John? Let's send like a big giant compact up into space, get it on the dark side of the moon, open it up, let the sun hit the mirror, and light up the dark side of the moon.
Now, what's so funny about that? People propose after doing that for the Earth. The Russians did an experiment 2 years ago. They launched a 15-meter-wide mirror, and they illuminated the ground through Kiev up through Russia as an experiment to try and take sunlight and bounce it down.
Did it work?
Yeah, it worked.
What
and most astronomers that? Freaked out about that. This one company in Atlanta wanted to build this one-mile-wide billboard, like for Pepsi or
Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Or a Schwarzenegger movie. And have it rotate around the Earth.
Yeah.
And it would appear almost as big as the full moon. Right. And the astronomers freaked out because the skies would be trashed by this huge billboard out in space. So that basically got killed because the astronomers raised total hell about it.
Yeah.
Not for very long, though.
You still there, Rob?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You got one? Hey, Rob, you got one more question. This one better be a doozy.
All right. I got one here. From space, what's the only man-made object you can see?
Great Wall of China.
Damn, that was
if I can handle that one, it's not worthy. You're out of here, buddy.
The phone number here is 749-1444. Our topic is outer space. We have a guest from the planetarium. Rob. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And this song goes out to Ronnie, number 20. 21.
Dude, you're looking at a pigeon.
What's that?
We got a picture here on page B1 of Wednesday's Inquirer.
Oh, a dead pigeon?
And there's a whole bunch of kids wearing these very dangerous 3D glasses like they gave you to watch The Fox.
No, these are the ones
they gave you to watch Married with Children or whatever that you picked up at Arby's. And there's one kid like looking at a pigeon. And then everyone else is looking off to the left, and one kid's looking to the right.
Anyhow, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is for Hyde Park. Hi, everyone. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
Which one, dude? The top one or the bottom one?
Let's start over.
The top one or the bottom one? The top one. Dude, I can't see anything but your elbow. The top one or the bottom one?
That one right there. Do I have to circle it for you?
Yeah, the top one or the bottom. You have to say top or
I'm
bottom.
Gonna circle
the top one.
I'm not
Thank
say
you,
that
you
on
incredible
the air.
Imbecile.
Cretin. Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we don't run with the big dogs, because we're just pups. 749-1444 is the phone number.
John, here's a question for you. Would it be okay to take all the nuclear waste and chemical waste and launch it up into the sun, or would that cause some kind of calamity?
That'd work.
It'd be fine to do that?
Sure.
What now, Jim?
The rockets malfunction and crash back to Earth.
That could be a real mess.
Jim, the gloom and doom say, who cares? It's just Florida.
Don't tell Jack Horkheimer that.
Yeah, right in Madonna's backyard. Her hair would change another color.
Glow in the dark. That'd be funny.
So is this the highlight of your career so far over there at the Cincinnati Planetarium, today's eclipse?
It has been, yeah. This has been a really special day. It's just been spectacular, perfect weather, tons of folks.
Chris and Rob,
I mean, the whole deal. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
Hey, John, have you ever been to that pizzeria called No Anchovies?
It's wonderful.
No, I haven't.
I'll make a deal with you, John.
All right.
You get us one of them private showings of the Jimi Hendrix laser show, a private screening for me and a guest, and Rob and a guest, and maybe some of our rowdy friends.
What about Jimbo?
And Jim and a guest, and some of his rowdy friends, and they're the worst. And what we'll do in return is we'll get you a free pizza from No Anchovies.
That's a deal.
Have you ever been there?
No.
You know where it is?
No, not a clue.
It's on Ludlow next to the Esquire.
Okay.
So you can go see a dirty movie and then go catch some pizza afterwards. It's a good time. So check it out, everyone.
Since you have so much power and clout down there at the planetarium, do you ever get like high school or college classes come through and then like because you're a man in the position of power, and as Kissinger said, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. Do you ever get like these high school or college age women, you know, like star groupies?
There have been a few college girls, yeah. Yeah, there have been a few college girls.
Really?
Yeah. A few, over 8 years. A few.
Star groupies, really?
Yeah. In fact, there's a friend of mine, Kathleen, and she has come to every Sergeant Pepper's Laser Light Show and our Planetarium show for the last, like, 6 months. Every Saturday, she's there to see the show. It's
she's
amazing.
She's hooked, huh?
Oh, totally.
Do you feel bad about using the planetarium for something like a
liaison?
Just a laser light show instead of something scientific to make, you know, just basically a purely money-making venture.
Listen, a planetarium is not a for-profit organization.
It's a theater.
It's a theater where we teach about astronomy, about the universe.
And if you can get off to comfortably numb, that's fine.
Sure. And it helps pay for us so we can teach more astronomy to more kids.
So it's a necessary evil.
I wouldn't call it necessary evil. It draws a different kind of person into the planetarium to experience what the things we can do in there.
And they can find it. So they can find it during the day, too. Huh?
They can find it during the day and see some planetarium shows. But we do just more than laser shows. Along with the laser shows, like Hendrix or Pink Floyd, whatever, we're using all the planetarium stars and the special effects, like supernovas, galaxies twirling up in the dome. We have all these special effects we can use during the laser shows. So it just opens up a whole new audience to the experience of a planetarium.
The phone number here is 749-1444. We're taking your questions. John, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You're so smart about outer space, right? And you were complaining a little while ago about how those city lights kind of block out the sky and you can't see the stars real clear and you have to drive out to the country.
All right.
All right.
All right. So supposing you wanted to find a location, and I'm not talking about a shopping mall in Indiana, supposing you wanted to find a location where you could see plenty of sky and plenty of outer space, and it would also be, how shall I put this, a comfortable place to neck, where would that place be?
Well, a couple of good locations would include Woodland Mound, which is a Hamilton County park. It's right off of Route US 52 near the Ohio River.
Mm-hmm.
It's just south of, like, Beachmont Avenue.
Is there a lot of pollen in the air?
Got hay fever?
Not a clue.
You got hay fever?
Another place is Miami Whitewater, which is over in the western Hamilton County.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's John Bryan State Park, which is... out by Yellow Springs, you know, east of Dayton. That's another great place to go.
What about Norwood?
Norwood, I don't know.
Watch for them gangster drive-bys.
That could be a little hairy.
Norwood is now the hotbed of gangster warfare.
I never thought Norwood would be the hotbed of anything, actually.
What you got there digging? Oh, okay. Wow, another mint.
Yeah. Ugh. You know anything about quarks?
Caramel.
Or are you just outer space guy?
I do astronomy. That's more in the line of physics.
Okay.
Quarks are the tiniest particles that we know of that make up now all of us and everything around us, the Earth, the Sun, all of us made out of atoms. And atoms are made out of smaller particles. Protons, which are positively charged pieces.
Talk about that next.
And negatively charged pieces called electrons. Then there's neutrally charged pieces called neutrons. And then they're made up of smaller pieces called quarks. And they've been looking for all the pieces, the building blocks of atoms and all that. And they've just discovered or confirmed the last or the top quark, which
What's
is made. Well, apparently there are five different types of quarks. Now, this is way out of my field, but
uh-huh.
Apparently they found all the pieces that help make all the other, the neutrons and protons and electrons that build up atoms. So it helps us learn more about the nature of matter itself.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Has your belief in God been reinforced since you became this big-time scientist, or has it been shaken a little bit? Or has
it's been reinforced. Just because of learning about the universe is fascinating in and of itself. But when you